by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Hey, how you doing? Skyler Knight's name is Jonathan Weir. Happy Monday. Really happy to be with you guys today. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing pretty good, man. Yeah.
Doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
Superman okay. Does good. You're doing well.
Oh.
Doing well is what you meant to say.
Calm down.
That's what you meant to say. I'm not. I am calm. I'm reserved.
Calmer than you are.
I am actually preserving all of my energy.
You're too
on
calm.
This Monday night. So that I can let loose. At a certain point in the show, I'm just going to start screaming and singing at the top of my lungs. So stay tuned for that because it is going to be embarrassing.
So it'll just be like a regular Monday show then?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Let's start here in Seattle. Let's start 60 years ago and talk about measles. How about that? It came out today that the Health Department of King County in Seattle is investigating a new case of measles. So if you went to Pike Place Market or World Market or Hope Central Pediatrics and Behavioral Health, any point from May 11th to May 15th, you may have contracted measles. Anyone who was at any of those locations, there are those times listed above, may have been exposed to measles, they said. The most likely time you would have become sick would be between May 18th and June 5th. So they're not predicting the future. They're just saying measles takes a while for the symptoms to show up. It's 7 to 21 days after exposure. So there you go. You might be getting the measles, which is an interesting thing to be talking about in 2023 because I foolishly thought measles was dead. I thought it would be like I'm sitting here doing a news story on Betty White or something. Hey, did you hear what Betty White's new project is? Wait, isn't she dead? Yeah, as dead as the measles. She comes back every once in a while. Now, when I saw the story, like many of you, and I know this from reading comments on the story, my thought immediately went to, these anti-vaxxer parents. Oh, my God, because you're afraid of the kid getting autism, or you're afraid of it leading to sterility, or whatever thing that you've cooked up in your head is the reason not to get your kids vaccinated this week. They'll turn them into giant magnets, which I think would actually be kind of cool. But that's besides the point. You don't do it because you're afraid. These parents. And then you take your kid around and they get sick. And now they're possibly exposing people with autoimmune disorders that can't get vaccinated. You're exposing them at a very high risk. And I looked into it. And I was a little more forgiving. Not totally, but enough to give the parents the benefit of the doubt. Because I honestly don't know. The measles vaccine, after two doses, has a 97% success rate. So there's a 3% possibility that this kid was vaccinated and still contracted measles. And the parents didn't know, and he was spreading it around. Now, we obviously know he has measles now, so it's not like they've been keeping it a secret. But I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, and I'm always trying to do that. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about me or about other people in general. Those of us who still have just a little bit of resolute but dying faith in humanity, we try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But then it's tough. It's tough. And this show challenges that every single day for me. Because we also in Seattle have the woman who was walking around with tuberculosis, and she's now been found in contempt of court for refusing the court order to stay in her freaking house. Because she just needs to go out living footloose and lung butter free. And by free, I mean she's freeing the lung butter. Just I don't know. Where are you on this? Between if they are anti-vax, they should be charged with a hate crime, which I've seen people say. I've seen people say that today about these parents who may or may not have gotten this kid vaccinated. Between that, and by the way, it's a hate crime, they claimed, because it's hating people with autoimmune disorders. Worry between that and I don't vax my kids because they put chemicals in there that will turn them into clown frogs. Yeah, like little green frogs with big rainbow wigs. That's what I expect to happen once that third dose goes down. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm somewhere in the middle between, oh my God, you're monsters and you should go to jail, and I would never get my kid vaccinated because it will turn them into a giant U-shaped magnet. I believe in vaccines 100%. And both my kids have been fully vaccinated. But I don't consider it child neglect not to get the shots. I think that you're just wrong if you don't. I think that if you refuse to get your kids vaccinated, it's a problem that we need to deal with. And hopefully you will see the light, because it's just a statistical issue. It's a scientific issue. It's a problem of explanation. And honestly, if we're going to start charging parents with neglect for not getting their kids vaccinated, as so many people now today are saying about this kid with the measles, do you drive with your kids in the car? Because 2,000 kids a year die in car accidents. Do you own a gun? Because 2,500 kids a year die from gun violence. Do you keep an eye on them every second of the day? Because again, over 2,000 kids die in household accidents. So if we're going to start doing the neglect dance, I think it would be beholden on us to be consistent. And again, I think you should get your kids vaccinated. And I'm sorry if I fail the purity test of locking people up for being wrong, but I don't feel like that's a good use of our jail system. That's just me. Now, having said all of that, the question does change and my response changes through the question if we find out that they took their kid out knowing they had the measles. Then I say bury them under the jail. If they were like, oh, our kid has measles, but you know what? Measles isn't that big of a deal. We used to have it all the time, and then around 1963, for some reason, it just started disappearing. I don't know what happened. Like, if you look at a chart, it's like measles consistent throughout the years. And then all of a sudden, 1963, now the vaxxers want you to believe that that's because the measles vaccine was introduced in 1963. But we know better. It was other reasons, probably. That was the same year the Beatles put out A Hard Day's Night. So you heard it here first. A Hard Day's Night cures the measles. Anyway, if they're that stupid, I say get them. Go get them. Because that is not just neglect of their own child. It's also putting other people in danger. And that's not acceptable. It's just not. Moving on. And other depressing local stories. In Federal Way, there was a shooting. You might have heard about it if you paid attention to the news today. At Stars Bar and Grill, where two people were killed and one was injured at a shooting at that Federal Way bar. Two women, ages 36 and 38, and an injured man were leaving the bar. Well, the man wasn't injured yet. He was injured after he was shot. But they were leaving the bar around 3:30 a.m. on Sunday morning when investigators report that shots rang out. A police spokesperson said the victims were involved in a dispute with the shooter earlier in the night. The suspect fled. And the spokesperson says investigators believe there's no ongoing threat to the public because they consider this a targeted attack against the women. A lot of people coming out telling local media about how great these women were, and I have absolutely no doubt that they were absolutely amazing people. They made you feel like you belong here, one person said it. I'm surprised. I didn't think anything like this could ever happen. But, you know, it does happen. And this is what bothers me so much about the times that we live in right now. You know, I don't want to make this about a gun thing, because it's not just a gun thing. It's also a lack of having any forethought about the quality of a human soul, about how that is something that is divine, and when you snuff it out, you've done something irredeemable. But for some reason, we are a shoot first, ask questions later type of society, and we are a, you said something mean to me, and now I get to kill you. I have no idea what they said to this guy. They said it was a dispute at the bar involving the guy and these girls. I don't know what they argued about, but I guarantee it was probably something the guy found emasculating, and he needed to prove what a big, strong man he was by pulling out a gun that, you know, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old could use. Well, hell, a 6-year-old. We saw that in Virginia when the first grader shot his teacher. He had to prove what a big, strong man he was by pulling out a gun and shooting these women. He took his anger out on them, and it is sad. And I think about this a lot when there are stories like this, and there are stories like this every single day, whether they're specific to Seattle or we're talking about yet another mass shooting or we're talking about something that happened at a theme park. I think about how much it means to take a life. And that's what bothers me so much about today, is there's just no calculation about how much it means to kill somebody, to snuff somebody out, to take a life. That life at one point was new and innocent and perfect. It was a baby. Someone held that person. Someone fed them. Someone sang lullabies to them, changed their diapers, watched them crawl around on the carpet, watched them get bigger, saw them take their first steps. They grew up, they went to school, worked hard, had boyfriends, learned to drive, made their parents proud, made their parents cry sometimes, got jobs, got fired, made friends, posted silly stuff on social media. And all of that meant absolutely nothing to the guy that decided to erase it over an insult at a bar, over something mean that was said. It's just far too easy. And I think this is philosophically my problem with guns. It's just far too easy to erase something that is so incredibly significant. And that's what a gun does. And I know they're also great protection. Yes, they can be. Of course, I guess if he had shot them in the parking lot, I don't know how a gun would have protected them. Gun only works as protection if, you know, you're aware that the person is going to be firing at you, but he ambushed them, so I don't really know how it would have been protection. But it's just infuriating to me, living in modern society and seeing stories like this and going, like, why is there so little appreciation for the experiences of the other person? And it's something I I'm not even trying to make a gun point here. Make that enough. It's more like I'm just trying to figure out how we've become so callous. It could have been guns. It could have been stabbing. It could have been he ran him over with the car. It doesn't matter. Is it the pandemic? Was it that? Was it because we went through that and hundreds of thousands of us were dying? and there's nothing anybody could do about it? And did we lose appreciation for life during that? You know, that's something like happens in, you know, you look at Soviet Russia. Look at what Stalin said about killing people. He said one person's death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. So did we become more callous when a million people died of COVID? Or did we just lose our minds from being locked indoors and being away from each other? I don't know. But it would be pretty nice if it stopped. Be pretty nice if maybe it would just chill out for a little bit. It'd be pretty nice if we had the feeling that we had, if those of us who paid attention, in the early 2000s, where we were like, oh my God, look at the murder rate. It's going down. In the 2010s, you're like, look, it's still going down. And now it's horrifying because we're like, oh, it's going back up. It's going back up to where it was in the 90s. And I don't know what we can do about it. So that's fun. Here's some good news. Here, I'll end this segment, which has been, admittedly, even for me, a downer on a Monday.
Yeah.
I'll end with some good news. Oh, okay, here we go. Did you know that Seattle is the number two travel destination on Memorial Day? Not that people are fleeing the city, but actually people are coming here.
Why?
People are coming to Seattle. It's number two for Memorial Day travel. I would assume the weather, the atmosphere, the amazing radio that you'll get when you're here.
There you go.
Yeah. But that was according to AAA. That is where a lot of people are going to be going on Memorial Day. Where are they coming from? Is my question. Are they flying all over the country and just going, let's all go to Seattle? Because I'll be honest with you guys, I love Seattle, but when I didn't live in Seattle, I didn't sit around going, hey, you know what would be great? Let's fly all the way up to the corner of the country there. Let's go to Seattle. The reason people go to places like Florida on vacation is because, well, if you're on the East Coast, it's right down there. So is this all Californians coming up? God help us. God help us. See, I managed to make it depressing. You know, I will say this, though, and it's something that if you live here, you might take for granted. Seattle is one of the most aesthetically pleasing cities. It just is. I almost think you have to be an outsider to really appreciate it, but I've lived in a lot of different cities, and none of them are as striking as Seattle. When you're going, you know, south on I-5, you're looking at the city at night, Lake Union. There's nothing like it. And then during the day, maybe you're driving north on I-5. I don't know why I-5 is getting all the credit here, but whatever. And the mountains are out. It's just absolutely a gorgeous place to live. It really is. I'll tell you what's not gorgeous. Something I need to talk about next. Are you going to your kid's graduation? Are your kids graduating in just a little bit, in a couple weeks maybe? Or I don't know when school lets out in Seattle. Maybe it's already let out. Well, I'm not. I'll tell you why I'm not going to my son's graduation. In just a few minutes on Cairo Nights. And I'm absolutely livid about it. That's next. Nights, how you doing, everybody? It's me, Jonathan Weir. How you doing? Really happy that you're here with me on a Monday night. I just got a message from somebody on Twitter who said, after listening to the last segment, I'm wondering if you need a welfare check sent to your house. I'm like, it's just Monday. Look, this is the problem with Mondays.
We're going to talk about dead cats and dogs next? Come on.
kittens and puppies, yes. How about that? What we have to do on Monday, unfortunately, is catch up with the news from the weekend. And almost every single weekend, there's some kind of shooting that we need to discuss. That's why it's Monday morning, but not spelled the same way. It's M-O-U-R-ning. You know what I mean? That's what I refer to it as. It's morning in America.
I see what you did there.
Thank you so much, Kevin. And I don't know. I've been in a weird mood, actually, for the last few days. I don't really know why. Sometimes I just get like overly emotional. You know what I did last night? I was watching The Simpsons, as I often do.
New episodes?
No, I don't watch new episodes. Okay. They're awful. But I was watching an episode from the 90s when they were good. And it was the episode where Homer's mom comes back. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. And I've seen that episode like 12 times, probably, just being conservative about the amount of times I've seen it. But I've seen it a lot of times. Know a lot of the little bits and phrases by heart. And I, by the end of the episode, started bawling. Started crying. Because of his mom having to leave him. And he says the line to her, "Well, at least I'll be awake to say goodbye this time." And it was just, it like crushed me. And I don't know what it was, but I was laying in bed last night at like 2 a.m. watching this episode of The Simpsons and just bawling.
He's crying over The Simpsons again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually, my wife hit me and she's like, "Are you crying over The Simpsons?" Jesus God, John. Please go to sleep. Here's what I think is setting me off, and maybe one thing that's making me emotional. It is almost June, which means it's grad season. Dads and grads, that's what June's all about. And I have a weird issue going on right now. See, back in 2020, my now 14-year-old son was, I guess, 11. And he graduated from the fifth grade. But because of COVID, even though he was going from fifth grade to junior high school, that's the way it works in Massachusetts. Because of that, there wasn't a graduation ceremony. There was no like cute little thing at the school gymnasium or anything like that. No speeches, no fanfare, no nothing. It sucked. But we were like, come on, it's the fifth grade. We'll have his eighth grade one in a few years. Do you remember your eighth grade graduation?
No, because we had ninth grade graduation.
You have ninth grade graduation. Do you remember the transitional year, between high school and middle school? Eighth grade, the year you graduate and then go to high school, mm-hmm. we had a graduation. I remember it distinctly. Wore crappy gowns. We didn't have the motorboard hats. I had severe gut and butt issues. I guess it was stress. I don't know. People gave speeches. We went out for dinner afterwards. It was nice. And the fact that I remember it means that it must have been significant because I have a terrible memory. And I have a rule. If I remembered it, it must have meant something.
You got Denny's in the end.
Knowing my family, yes. It was probably Denny's or somewhere even cheaper than Denny's. We went to Lenny's, actually.
Ooh. That is the bootleg Denny's.
Do you remember your high school graduation?
Of course I do. I saw... I believe I saw some Star Wars movie that had just come out. One of the prequels. Yeah.
Yeah. You're 37, right?
So yeah, we went to Emerald Downs that day. Yeah.
I remember the weird cap and gown made out of paper, which is a fire hazard. So that's fun. The valedictorian gave a speech. I remember even going to my now wife's high school graduation, where she went to a different high school than me, and the valedictorian was drunk. And I'll just tell you, if you plan on drinking before your high school graduation and you're the valedictorian about to give a speech, don't give a speech by Shel Silverstein. Because it's hard not to slur that even when you're sober. But he was like, "I'd like to give a little message to you, the class of 2000 graduating from Shel Silverstein." It's tough. Everyone knew he was drunk and nobody cared. It was a nice night. This year is the first year post-pandemic that we could really have a graduation ceremony. And I am not going to my son's eighth grade graduation, where, again, here he is graduating from eighth grade to high school. And the reason I'm not going is because my son's school isn't doing one.
Lame.
Exactly.
Give the kids some cake.
Here's what they're doing. They're having a celebration ceremony where they don't have caps and gowns. They don't give out diplomas. Parents aren't allowed to go. And I don't know if they have speeches. They're going to have a live stream of it so we can watch it.
Ooh.
But not actually be there for it.
Reminds me of the pandemic.
It's literally like the pandemic never went away. Like, we should be celebrating the fact that it's over. Not just their middle school years, but the freaking pandemic. And the reason they say we can't do it, they can't have a celebration, is because there's not enough room. There's a field. There's a big parking lot. There's more than enough room. But for some reason, they're like, nah, we're not doing it. And I hate to be suspicious in this respect, but I guarantee you it's probably because not every kid's graduating. Some kids aren't able to. So we don't want to rub it in their face by having a big party and all their parents there when their parents can't show up.
Because they failed or what?
Because they failed.
Well, yeah,
I guarantee you
they failed.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you fail. You feel like a failure.
I nearly failed high school. I was almost off by one, what is it called? Credit.
Yeah.
I needed a math credit and I barely squeaked by like literally the skin of my teeth.
It's like that episode of Saved by the Bell. You got it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What's Saved by the Bell? I don't know what you're talking about. Point is, I'm very frustrated by this. And I don't know if this is widespread, if this is happening everywhere. But it bothers the hell out of me. And I'm not somebody who genuinely likes, no pun intended, pomp and circumstance. But I would like to celebrate the efforts of my son to get through the eighth grade. I would like to see him walk across a stage and get a diploma. Because the way the world's going, who knows? We might be living in bunkers by the time he graduates from high school. Just give me this. It's Chironites. Chironites. Happy Monday. So, my name's Jonathan Weir, and somebody sent this to me earlier saying, oh, you're such a big Beatles fan. I bet you would love to hear this. It's an AI Beatles song, meaning, artificial intelligence created Beatles song. And I listened to it, and I was like, no, it's not. Here's a song. I'm not going to play the whole thing, obviously.
Don't look at me. It's way too soon to see what's going to be. Don't look at me. All my life.
Look, claiming that this was written by artificial intelligence is scary. It's frightening listening to this because, my God, does this sound like something Paul McCartney would write? Wow, that's a hooky little thing he did there. Whew.
You came along and made my life a song. One lucky day, you came along.
Okay, I'm done with playing the song because this isn't created by artificial intelligence. This is actually a song written by Paul McCartney, and it was off of his album New. This is the same song.
Don't look at me, it's way too soon to see what's gonna be. Don't look at me.
Okay, so all they did was tune up his voice a little bit to make him sound younger, and they claim that it's John Lennon also singing background vocals, and Lennon has a little part in it here. This is the John part.
We can live as we choose.
I guess.
The to see. There's no guarantee. We've got nothing to lose.
All right. So, good trick. You use the Paul McCartney song from an album that came out 11 years ago that I feel like only I and maybe my friends Rod and James listened to, but it was not written by AI. The voices were tuned up a little bit by AI, and I will say that the John Lennon part doesn't sound anything like John Lennon.
It just sounds like somebody singing like this. It's not exactly John. It could also be George or even Ringo.
But here's my question, Kevin, as a huge music fan.
I don't like this stuff.
In fact, you'll be doing music news in a minute.
Yeah.
Are you bothered by the idea of artificial intelligence writing songs and even then recordings of artificial intelligence making songs I guess the recordings being artificial intelligence? Like we had that Drake song a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty whack. Just this morning, I saw an email from a PR company about Typo Negative. They're an awesome metal band that I love, and their singer passed away about 10 years ago, or actually 13 years ago or so. But anyways, they released an AI-generated music video, and they were like, you know, touting it like it was some cool thing. And I'm like, that sucks. I don't want to check that out. Like, it just, like, there's people that make cool
wrong.
Music videos. Yeah, it's like, can we just let the Typo Negative be Typo Negative and not put them into the AI-generated garbo?
I feel weird about those hologram concerts, you know, or it's
Tupac
like Michael.
Well,
I feel weird about that anyway, because considering the kind of human being he was. But or Tupac or Whitney Houston, those holograms, it just seems wrong. Like they're dead, and you're the family's profiting off of them. That's weird. I don't necessarily have a problem with fully rendered AI writing songs, recording songs, and all that stuff. And I'll tell you why, because it won't really affect the musicians in the end. Their end game, musicians, is concerts. That's where they make all their money now. The music industry does not pay out as well as it used to. I mean, you have to be getting millions and millions of hits on Spotify to even make it then. I think a band Cracker, they had that song Low from the 90s. Sounds like a Tom Petty song, but whatever. They had a song, and they put out their earnings from that song on Spotify, and over like 6 months, they made like $13. And it got played thousands and thousands of times, but it didn't matter. It wasn't earning them any money. So the way musicians earn money now is through live performances, so who cares about AI? And by the way, like you said, you were bothered by the Typo Negative AI-generated thing. I guarantee you, many of you, when I first started playing that song, the Paul McCartney song I just played, when you thought it was AI, were probably bothered by that. But then when you found out it wasn't, you're like, oh. We don't want to feel any connection with artificiality. That's why we listen to a lot of music. That's why I think so many bands that are successful are bands who I describe as being in the uncanny valley of suck. Which is where they almost suck, where they're almost there, but they hold it together. No, I mean like they're almost bad.
Oh, okay.
They're throwing everything they have into the song to the point where it could easily tilt one way or the other and just be a disaster, but it's all held together by, hey, you're playing Low by Cracker. Thank you. But it's all held
together.
Thought
I'd give him another cent.
Well, radio royalties pay out a lot better than Spotify.
There
royalties,
you go.
So there's that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a problem with AI generated music because I don't think it's ever going to be that successful. For the same reason that so many of us hate auto tuning, and we'd rather hear bands that don't have it because it just sounds weak and pathetic and bad. Next at Caronites, we're going to be talking about a mass shooter in Seattle, who was let go, allowed to walk out of jail as a pretrial procedure. Well, that was a mistake because he's back in jail. We'll talk about him and all of his problems. next.